In Hebrews chapter 11, God's Hall of Fame, we read of many men and women who are examples of faith in action. I find it to be significant that the very first example of faith is the man Abel. God could have started listing his men of faith by naming a great warrior, king, prophet, or priest. But he didn't. He began teaching us about faith by naming an humble worshiper. Abel worshiped, praised, and exalted the Father, and as a result, his testimony still speaks from the grave today, thousands of years later. My friend, that's the power of exalting Christ. When I was growing up, Saturdays were set aside for chores. My mother worked on Saturdays, but my dad and I were both at home. Needless to say, Saturday chores were our responsibility. Certain tasks were set aside as Saturday tasks. The task that fell to us on those Saturdays included vacuuming the house, emptying all trash, cleaning up the carport, yard work such as mowing, raking, and trimming, and grocery shopping along with other miscellaneous errands. The only problem with all of those chores is that they got in the way of other things such as baseball, football, basketball, golf, tennis, mountain climbing, kite flying, exploring, and a thousand other things we would rather be doing. Many of the times that we would have to rush home in the afternoon after a day of playing just in time to hurry through the chores before Mom came home. Those were the times I dreaded chores the most. But there were other times that we would get up early, finish the chores before noon, and play in the afternoon. That was a lot better. I learned a lifelong principle from those childhood Saturdays. The principle goes something like this: pay now, play later. Or play now and pay later. That was a choice Dad and I faced almost every Saturday that rolled around. It is a choice that I still face in life today. And it is a principle I am teaching my children as they make their choices in life. You know, my friend, it's not so different in God's family. I believe that God's family, that family made up of all the redeemed, is the greatest family in all the world. And to live in that family and fulfill my role is sometimes similar to the dynamics of the families we know here on earth. Just as there are family traits, family ties, and family treasures that characterize God's children, there are also some family tasks unique to His people. Let me mention three family tasks that describe the work our Heavenly Father intends for His children to accomplish. The first task that God's great family is to be involved in is that of evangelizing. To evangelize means to proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps no passage of Scripture speaks more plainly and directly to God's children concerning this matter than the words of Jesus found in Mark 16:15. Listen to these words: "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." My friend, it has always been the desire of the Father that the world know about the salvation available through His Son, Jesus Christ. It has always been His heart that people hear and respond to the good news, the gospel. In John chapter 1, we read some very interesting words. Listen as I read verses 1 through 5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Now, when these verses refer to the Word, who or what are they referring to? This passage says that the Word was with God and was God. It also says that everything was made by Him. Word is capitalized, denoting a person, not a thing. Why? Because the Word mentioned here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is the Word of God in bodily form. The significance? God is saying to us that He has chosen to communicate to us through His own Son. The written Word of the Old Testament Scriptures have been perfectly fulfilled in the person of God's Son. The concept of the Word is communication. God speaks His will and way to us through Jesus, the ultimate Word of God. The whole purpose of God becoming flesh and coming to this world as Jesus of Nazareth was to communicate the will of God and the life of God to human beings lost in sin. As God's children, one of our primary tasks is to seek to communicate this same Savior to our lost world. A second task that has been given to God's great family is that of edifying. The word edify means to build up. The word in the New Testament Greek language actually means to build a house. This concept is used metaphorically to describe the responsibility that Christians have towards each other. We are to build up each other by promoting spiritual growth and development of character. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul had in mind in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. It was God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Within these verses we find the will of God for His people in regards to their relationship with each other. Through obedience to His will, and as we serve Him with our gifts and abilities, we will build up other believers until that day that we become completely mature in Christ. When that happens, we will no longer be deceived by Satan's lying schemes that so easily entrap us. This process of edifying one another glorifies our Father, helps us to overcome sin in our lives, and causes the children of God to reflect the power of God in our lives. There is a third family task that God has given to His children. It is the task of exalting. You may be wondering what I'm speaking of. I'm referring to our responsibility of exalting and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. This task is not least in importance compared to the other two. In reality, it is the greatest task of all for God's children. There is no higher calling or responsibility for a Christian than to worship and lift up the matchless name of Jesus. My friend, perhaps no one fully understands the power of God that is released when His people worship and praise His name. What is the power of worship and praise? God said that true, heartfelt worship is the greatest manifestation of faith that there is. In Hebrews chapter 11, God's Hall of Fame, we read of many men and women who are examples of faith in action. I find it to be significant that the very first example of faith is the man Abel. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead." God could have started listing His men of faith by naming a great warrior, king, prophet, or priest, but He didn't. He began teaching us about faith by naming an humble worshiper. Abel worshiped, praised, and exalted the Father, and as a result, his testimony still speaks from the grave today, thousands of years later. My friend, that's the power of exalting Christ. And that is the chief responsibility and task of all who claim the name of Christ as their Savior. Yes, there are some tasks that God expects us to complete as we seek to walk in obedience to Him. As His children, we are to be involved in the work of evangelizing, that is, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who do not know Him. We might say that this is our outreach. We are also to be involved in the work of edifying, building up our brothers and sisters in the faith. We call this our inreach, because it takes place within the family, and through it we minister to each other. And we are to always be mindful to remember our ministry of exalting. That is, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ in private and corporate worship and praise. This is our upreach, and through it we touch eternity. I'm thankful for the chance I have to work in the family and kingdom of Jesus Christ. My choice is to work now. I'll enjoy the fruit of my labors later.